Hi, I'm Dan Q, and you're listening to a podcast that nobody asked for, exclusively about things that only I find interesting. Today I'll be talking about window tax in England and Wales and comparing it to its implementation in the Netherlands. As usual, there's a blog post accompanying this episode. Today you'll find it at danq.link/windows. Window tax. From 1696 until 1851, a window tax was imposed in England and Wales, sort of a precursor to property taxes like council tax today. It used an estimate of the value of a property as an indicator of the wealth of its occupants. Counting the number of windows provided the mechanism for such assessment. Window tax replaced an earlier hearth tax following the ascension to the English throne of Mary II and William III of Orange. Hearth tax had come from a similar philosophy to window tax, that you could approximate the wealth of a household by some aspect of their home, in this case the number of stoves and fireplaces they had. It did have some problems. One particular problem was its stepping, which was designed to weigh particularly heavily on the rich with their large houses, also weighed heavily on large multi-tenant buildings, whose landlord would invariably pass on those disproportionate costs to their tenants. Anyway, why a window tax? Well, there's two ways to answer that. Firstly, a window tax, and a hearth tax for that matter, can be assessed without the necessity of a taxpayer to disclose their income. Income tax is nowadays the most significant form of personal taxation in the UK, but for most of English history it was considered to be too much of an invasion upon personal privacy. But secondly, compared to a hearth tax, a window tax can be validated from outside the property. Counting the number of people who live in a property in an era before solid record keeping is hard. Counting hearths is easier, so long as you can gain admittance to the property. Counting windows is easier still. It can be done completely from the outside. If you live in Britain, finding older buildings with windows bricked up to save on tax is pretty easy. Have a look around every time you're somewhere with older buildings, and if you're not sure, count the number of windows that remained available and compare it to the stepping limits to see if the bricked up ones were likely bricked up to save on tax. I recently got back from a trip to Amsterdam to meet my new work team and get to know them better. And one of the things that I learned while on this trip was that the Netherlands too had a window tax for a while, but there's an interesting difference. The Dutch window tax was introduced during the French occupation under Napoleon in 1810, which is already much later than the equivalent tax in England, and the Dutch window tax continued even after Napoleon was ousted and well into the 19th century, and that delay leads to a really interesting architectural side effect. Glass manufacturing technique evolved rapidly during the 19th century. At the start of the century, when England's window tax law was in full swing, glass panes were typically made using the crown glass process. A bauble of glass would be spun until centrifugal force stretched it out into a wide disc, getting thinner towards the edge. Those very edge pieces of crown glass would be cut into triangles for use in leaded glass, with any useless offcuts recycled. But the next innermost pieces, which were the thinnest and clearest, would fetch the highest price for use as windows. By the time you reached the centre, you had a thick, often swirly piece of glass that couldn't really be sold for a high price, but you still find bits of glass like this among the leaded glass used in particularly old pub windows. I've even lived in houses that have had the centre of crown glass used in decorative contexts. But as the 19th century wore on, cylinder glass became the norm. Now, cylinder glass is produced by making an iron cylinder as a mould, blowing glass into it, and then carefully unrolling the cylinder while the glass is still viscous to form a reasonably even and flat sheet. Compared to spun glass, this approach makes it possible to make much larger panes, and it also scales more easily to industrialisation, which reduced the cost of glass. The Dutch window tax survived into the era of large plate glass, and this led to a really interesting phenomenon. Rather than having lots of windows, which would be expensive, late 19th century buildings in the Netherlands were constructed with windows that were as large as possible to maximise the ratio of the amount of light that they let in to the amount of tax for which they were liable. And that's an architectural trend you can still see in Amsterdam and elsewhere in Holland today. Even where buildings are renovated or newly constructed, they tend, or are required by preservation orders, to mirror the buildings they neighbour, which influences architectural decisions. It's really interesting to see the different architectural choices that are produced in two different cities as a side effect of fundamentally the same economic choice, just resulting from slightly different starting conditions in each, a half-century gap and a land shortage in the Netherlands. While Britain got fewer windows, the Netherlands got bigger windows. And you can still see those effects today. And there's another interesting thing about the relatively recent window tax in the Netherlands, and that's how people would broadcast their social status. In some of the traditionally wealthiest parts of Amsterdam, you can find houses with more windows than you would expect. You'll see high window density or decorative windows, for example, added above the front door, or in particularly wealthy streets where there's a main entrance up some steps and servants' quarters below, you'll see a full set of windows provided even for the below ground servants' quarters. When those buildings were constructed, the building will have been considered especially ostentatious. Its original owners will have deliberately requested it was built in a way that attracted a higher tax bill than it would have been considered necessary. The house stood out as a status symbol, like shiny jewellery or fashionable clothes or a classy car might today. And that got me thinking, how did we go wrong? A century and a bit ago, the super wealthy used to demonstrate their status by showing off how much tax they can pay, whereas nowadays, they generally seem more preoccupied with getting away with paying as little tax as possible, or none. Can we bring back 19th century Dutch social status telegraphing, please? Once again, this episode was based on a blog post, which you can find at danq.link/windows. If you enjoyed today's episode, leave a comment there or email me on podcast@danq.me. And as always, Dan Q for listening. Dan Q very much.